Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor Adam Olean, Vicar Albert Bader. We serve here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd love to have you worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. Wednesday evenings year-round at 6:30. Also, you can check us out live on 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And if you're outside of our listening area, you can always hear us on the computer. Go to our church website, go to our radio website. And on the radio website, there's also archived programs as well. Church services, At Home in Your Hymnal, Proclaiming the One, all those kind of things. www.thecross957.org. We're looking at the readings for Trinity 25. We've looked at, in our first segment, the introit from Psalm 31, segments 2 and 3, the gospel reading from Matthew 24, and the abomination of desolation. And now we want to see the abomination of desolation in action, I suppose. Exodus 32, 1 to 20. And if the word Exodus, or the name, title Exodus 32, doesn't bring about a specific connotation to you, it should. Vicar, you want to take it away? 20 verses here, Exodus 32.
When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with a power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, in Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people." Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides. On the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Now when Joshua heard the voice of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But Moses replied, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory, or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire, and ground it to powder, and scattered it on the water, and made the people of Israel drink it.
Wow, there's another one of them. The word of the Lord. Oh, that sweet word of the Lord. Drinking the powdered golden calf as your dietary supplement. Doesn't that sound, oh man, that sounds horrific. And we have a lot of distress here. We have the people who are in distress because, you know, it's not where's Waldo, it's where's Moses. Moses went up onto the mountain. The mountain is burning hot with the fire of God, Mount Sinai. And I think most of the people just assumed Moses was dead. He had entered onto sacred ground. He had gone to see God face to face. And the reason Moses was slow in coming is because Moses was dead, quick fried to a crispy crunch.
Church took too long.
Church took too long. Oh, I love that one. Yeah. And so now we have God who is in distress when he sees what they do. And then God tells Moses to go down the mountain, and then Moses is in distress when he sees the revelry that is going on. And then when Moses acts, the people are in distress for a different reason, the wrath of God. So whenever you have a long narrative like this, it's kind of hard to dig in. It's hard to preach on a text like this, too. But it's hard to dig into some of the specifics. I don't want to get bogged down in some of the details, the historical stuff with regard to that. You can check that out and read the book of Exodus. It's a fascinating reading. But there's a play going back and forth here, Pastor, that I want you to comment on. When God tells Moses what's going on, God says, "The people you brought up out of Egypt." And then when Moses, with great courage, talks back to God, he says, "God, you are the one who brought these people out of Egypt. You are the one that made these promises." Did God have a memory problem here? Why is this exchange going on? And why is it so significant that Moses threw God's word back into God's face?
Yeah. God always is testing his people. Not so much as a, God doesn't know what they believe or teach or confess, but rather he's doing so in giving the people an opportunity to confess their faith outwardly. He gives them his word, and then he allows them an opportunity for them to confess and say, "Here's what you've said." And I think that's what God is doing here. God knew who brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. God is the one who brought the plagues. God is the one who led them through the Red Sea on dry ground, who was with them in the pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. God's no fool here. But Moses has had this opportunity to think too highly of himself. He is only God's servant, but God has brought about wondrous things through, by means of his servant. And so is Moses thinking too highly of himself here? Does Moses think he's the important part of this equation? God is allowing Moses the opportunity to confess that it is really God who is the one who's doing these things. And I think too then, we have Aaron here, in contrasted to that, who is kind of like the people-pleasing pastor down at the bottom of the mountain. And the people say, "Wouldn't it be nice if we did this? Doesn't that sound fun? Or down the street, this is what's going on. Why don't we do that?" And Aaron, instead of confessing back God's word or pointing people back to Jesus, he just kind of says, "Okay, yeah, we'll try that. We'll drive a motorcycle up the center aisle of the church, or whatever the silly thing is that the people down the street. We'll do Dr. Seuss church. We'll have a pet blessing or whatever silly thing." And the thing they want that everybody else has are idols, false gods. And so Aaron says, okay, you want one? Let's make it. I'll even do it for you. So we have that contrast where Moses still is pointing people to the true God, and Aaron is letting people have whatever their itching ears want to have.
You've got a lot of things going on there. And Vicar, I want to ask you, so I prepare you here a little bit. The primary sin of the people is impatience. And I want you to expound on that in a moment. But I love how you contrasted a faithful pastor versus the people-pleasing pastor here with Moses and Aaron. God's love for Moses, he knows what makes Moses tick. He knows that Moses' biggest sin is he gets too big of a head. And we see at the waters of Meribah and several other places in Scripture that Moses succumbs to this temptation on more than one occasion. And so he is teaching Moses, giving him an opportunity to make the good confession and teaching him, and at the same time giving Moses the opportunity to throw the promises back to God. And so his faith is strengthened by clinging to the word and clinging to the promises. The people are impatient. Vicar, what's going on here with the impatience of the people and turning Aaron into a people-pleasing pastor?
Yeah, so they're waiting for this Moses because what is the ultimate goal that these people want to have?
Promised land.
They want to get to the promised land. God has promised to take them there. And who has God said that he's going to lead them there with? Moses. So they need this man to bring them out of the region of Mount Sinai and lead them into the promised land. Well, like we already said, they thought Moses is dead. Oh, no, who's going to be able to lead us to the promised land now? Oh, I know. We'll make a false god, a golden calf. That will be our God that will now guide us along our way and lead us into this promised land. They were not even able to wait 40 days for God to send Moses back down to them. And instead fell away by breaking the first commandment and worshiping a false god. And this is something that we have to take into consideration all the time in our world. We live in a very impatient world. And one of the things that we do is we get caught up in things in this world. What we like, what we want to do, what seems best to us, what practices we want to use in church, maybe not going to church at all. But we have to continually be reminded of the words and promises of God that just as Moses was going to come back down from the mountain to lead the people of Israel to the promised land, so we have our Lord Jesus Christ who is coming back on the last day to lead us into the eternal promised land, the new creation and the new earth.
Well said, Vicar. And our distress is real. And the temptation to turn to false gods, false idols, the temptation to impatience with God and to not trust his word, it is very, very real. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh are constantly attacking us and assailing us. But take heart, my friends. Christ is real. He has come for you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours in Jesus Christ. Cling to his word. Cling to his promises, and know that in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. This has been Proclaiming the One. We'll be back again next week. We pray God's richest blessings. Go to church, hear the word, receive the gifts of God, and know that God loves you.